Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies.
It's podcasting time! The delightful catchphrase that Temel always loves to say.
The podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their films. We're talking about Jennifer Lopez this season, and if you have stuck with us through 5 episodes...
6? This is episode 7!
Wait a second. If you've stuck with us through 5 episodes, we have watched 5 not very good movies. And I'm very happy to tell you that episode 6 is an equally awful film.
I feel like your math is off here, right? Last week was episode 6.
No, last week
was episode... Oh, you're right. I even interrupted you for nothing.
This is going to be a great podcast, guys. Yeah, so this season we have been talking about Jennifer Lopez.
You forgot to say who we were because
and
interrupted you too much.
This season we're talking about Jennifer Lopez, and right now we're going to be talking about U-Turn, a movie that was made in 1997.
You just hadn't got there yet. I'm sorry. I'm a little punchy.
This is all unusable.
No, we can do it. We can't afford the tape. We got to power through and get to the end of the intro to the podcast. You can do it. I believe in you. I'll be quiet.
All right. On this season of 10 movies, we're digging into the movies of Jennifer Lopez. Last week, we talked about how truly awful Geely was. No surprises there. This week, we're going to talk about U-Turn, which is surprisingly awful.
Equally bad. As bad as Geely. And I never thought I would say that.
I might say that it is equally as bad as Geely, but it is far more disturbing than Geely.
I think you still forgot to say who we were, though.
No, I didn't.
Did you say we were Brian and Himmel?
Yeah.
Did you? Well, I'll have to go back and listen to it. But
wait, did I?
I don't think you did. I'm Brian, and with me, as always, is Himmel, the host of the 10 Movies podcast, who is so upset about having been forced to watch U-Turn just after having been forced to watch Geely that she's gone around the bend a bit.
Anyway, so you know us now, you know what we're talking about, and I can guarantee you that this episode is only going to get more off the rails as it goes along.
Here's a real red flag. When there's a movie that has like big name stars in it by a big name director like Oliver Stone, and you've never heard of it?
Yes.
That's a red flag that it might not be a real gem of a film.
So it is a 1997 movie starring Oliver Stone, or directed by Oliver Stone. And before we really get into the specifics of U-Turn, I would like to take a minute to shout out / admonish our friend Sari, who recommended that we watch this movie.
She's the reason we watched this terrible movie.
She recommended that we watch this film, and I have to say, Sari, you're dead to us.
Boo! Boo, Sari! What's wrong with you?
All right, do we want to talk about the plot and really dig into the depths of terribleness here?
It's a depraved film.
It's horrifying.
But yeah, there's a lot of plot. Give it your best shot. I'll try to be chill.
All right, I will try to give it my best shot. I'm not going to get into all the details because they're so icky and gross that I just don't feel like talking about them. But the plot, it's about a low-level thug named Bobby whose car breaks down in a very remote desert town called Surprise.
Superior, Arizona.
And one terrible thing after the other happens to Bobby. We have an escalating series of events, really, that kind of test Bobby's mettle here.
Well, before the events of the movie begin, he owes $13,000 to some sort of drug kingpin or whatever.
A bookie,
Who has chopped off two of his fingers with pliers, and which a scene we were basically forced to watch in a flashback. So his hand is bandaged up, and he's got the $13,000 in the trunk of his car. He breaks down in this little town, and then yeah, he has really like the worst luck.
I mean, he has the worst luck ever, and it starts with him meeting Jennifer Lopez. She's walking down the street, and I'm just going to read you the sentence from the Wikipedia entry because it tells you what kind of podcast you are in for. And if you don't want to listen to it, you can hit skip.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Stranded and broke, Bobby meets Jake and Grace McKenna, a father and daughter who are also a married couple.
We haven't even mentioned the incest. I was so busy worrying about all the murder that the incest slipped my mind for a moment.
I don't understand the point of this film. I don't understand why it was made. I don't understand why so many people agreed to be in it.
So for the bulk of the film, Bobby is knocking around this little town full of awful hillbillies.
He's stranded there because through a series of events, he basically has no money to be able to get his car back so that he can actually leave the town.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton is the mechanic who's overcharging him for fixing a minor repair on his car. And he's got a sack full of $13,000 in cash. He goes into a convenience store. Somewhat inexplicably and unbelievably, the convenience store is robbed by two gunmen, and the little lady behind the counter kills them both with a shotgun, but he catches some shrapnel, and it shreds his bag full of money. So his $13,000 in what appear to be ones, they're all disintegrated. So now he has $0 and a chopped-up hand.
And he cannot get out of this town.
He cannot get out of the town.
All this crazy stuff is happening, and... He meets Jennifer Lopez. Her name is Grace. She plays Grace McKenna. And Grace's husband...
Well, Grace takes him home to seduce him.
Yes.
Because she's a crazy person.
And Grace's husband then offers Bobby money to kill Grace.
Yeah, so Nick Nolte, the husband slash father of Grace, comes home. He's like, oh my God, you're going to bone my wife. I'm going to shoot you. And he punches him in the face, but then he decides to give him a ride back to town. And while he's giving me a ride back to town, he says, why don't you kill my wife for me? I need the insurance money. And then, I don't remember what happens, but then later, Grace, Jennifer Lopez, says, why don't you kill my husband? He's got $100,000 under the floorboards. Which makes you wonder, why did he need her killed for the insurance money if he's sitting on all this cash?
But, he just needed her killed.
Sean Penn now has to choose between which one of these people he's going to kill for the money he's desperate for. And then there's a running subplot with, he's walking around the town, and I think this is supposed to be, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but Billy Bob Thornton is an evil mechanic, and Powers Booth is an evil sheriff, and Claire Danes is
she's a crazy kid,
and Joaquin Phoenix is her crazy boyfriend who keeps trying to beat Sean Penn up.
Right. I mean, the whole point of this is an escalating series of misery that has worked to entrap Bobby in this scenario where he cannot get out of it, right? And he's got him, and it's supposed to make you think that he is making choices like, because he has no other choices he can make. Like, there's one scene where he is about $3 short of bus fare so that he can get out of this town. And that's really his last chance to basically make it out alive. I mean, I think this is supposed to be a noir thriller or something.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, dark and violent and gritty. And then the end, of course, it ends in what I would describe as an orgy of murder. They kill Nick Nolte, and all in like 10 minutes, right? They murder Nick Nolte, and they're leaving town to dump his body, and the sheriff comes up, and it turns out Grace is sleeping with a sheriff, so they murder the sheriff, and then Grace tries to murder Sean Penn she throws him over a cliff, and his arm is broken, his teeth are knocked out, and then he kills her.
And then he chokes her.
He strangles her to death.
But then Sean Penn manages to climb out of the ravine and then dies in the desert anyway.
Did he die?
Yeah, he dies.
So an orgy of murder and death.
U-Turn is a terrible movie. It's terrible in very unique ways. I think we need to talk about why it's a different kind of terrible than Geely.
So we normally discuss whether we liked the movie or not. Clearly, we did not. It was a brutal experience. It just like sanded my nerves down to a nub. Then we often talk about the cast of the film.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of.
Let's run through the cast. Do you want to run through the cast?
Yeah,
I don't want to, but let's do it.
So I think I actually listed much of the cast earlier. If you had told me there was a movie that could make me actively dislike Claire Danes, I would be like, no, how could you dislike Claire Danes? But terrible, awful, awful acting, awful character.
So
was anybody good in this movie?
So it's Sean Penn, Jennifer Lopez, Nick Nolte, Powers Booth, Claire Danes, Joaquin Phoenix, John Voight, Billy Bob Thornton.
John Voight is the eyeless.
He's the blind guy.
His eyes were burned out with acid.
Yeah. And also Liv Tyler in a weird cameo that she doesn't need to be in whatsoever.
Maybe she wasn't an actor then. Maybe she was just hanging around on set one day.
And Laurie Metcalf, who is the bus station attendant. So this cast and this director makes you think that there is a purpose to this grittiness, right? Like if you think about some Quentin Tarantino movies, how they're dark and depressing and full of murder, but they have some kind of plot and some kind of purpose and characters that are at least somewhat fleshed out and likable. None of that exists in this
movie. No, it's violent and awful to no discernible end.
No, whatsoever.
So Oliver Stone, you know, has made a lot of great movies. He's made Platoon, Born on the 4th of July, Wall Street, JFK.
I've not seen any of those.
Well, okay, the guy can make a good movie, right?
No.
But one thing he... if I had only seen U-Turn, I would 100% agree with you. But, like, there's all this, like, really, like, distracting, awful art school bullshit throughout the movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, he'll look at something and then there'll just be a cut to shot of, like, birds in the sky.
Yeah.
And
it looks like the kind of movie that a senior in college would make as their senior film school thesis.
All these, like, really, like, dumb, distracting, pointless visual tricks. And it's filmed on some kind of, like, super blown out, high contrast stock. It looks like it was run through an Instagram filter. It's hard to look at. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Like, if you're like a dude in college and someone gave you $30 million, you would make this film.
Oh, right. I was going to say that I think that one of the problems is that it mistakes like grittiness and violence for depth. Like, I think he thought that he's being provocative.
Yeah,
by
I'm going to show you all these things you can't look away from.
Yeah, by tackling all these like issues that are taboo, and he has absolutely nothing to say about
them. Yes, right? Don't show me rape and incest and graphic, brutal violence and murder just to show them to me.
Right, like there's absolutely nothing to say about these issues, and it treats them so carelessly as kind of voyeuristic titillation that it's just gross and disgusting to watch.
So last week we watched Zhili.
Yeah.
If you were forced at gunpoint tomorrow to watch Zhili or U-Turn again, which would it be?
Oh, I'd watch Zhili a million times over. I'm
I would
sorry,
too.
But like I cannot get over. You can't, like, incest is just not a thing you can get over.
I feel degraded having watched U-Turn. Yeah. So the and I don't even want to talk about this, but yeah, the Nick Nolte character was married to Jennifer Lopez's mom.
Okay, yeah.
BT dubs, Jennifer Lopez is not playing a Latina, but playing a Native American in this film. Because, you know, brown is brown, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and what I believe happened, correct me if I'm wrong, he was married to her mom. He might have killed her by throwing her off a ravine. And then he married his daughter. At one point, he violates her, and he's talking about the mom at the same time.
It's
awful.
So, like, this is so disturbing and it's so vile. And you think that, like, if you include a scene like this in a film, it has to be essential to the character. It has to be essential to the story. It has to be essential to the narrative, right? Like, it has to be there. Like, all that pain needs to be used for some kind of good because you have something to say.
No, this was just horror tourism.
It is, yeah, he has absolutely nothing to say. And he actually treats it as, like, a minor inconvenience versus something that is grossly traumatic, right? Like, she's portrayed as somebody who can kind of just get over it. And let's not even talk about how horrifying this is for, like, actual survivors of sexual assault, right?
Yeah, I would hate if someone had gone through an experience like that and then just happened to watch this movie and not knowing what was coming.
Like, don't do that. So like, to me, I'm not watching any more Oliver Stone films because I will hold U-Turn forever against him.
You know, I don't think we should talk anymore about the cast. we should talk about Jennifer Lopez. But I will. So in the defense of... So Sean Penn's character, much like Ben Affleck's Larry Zhili from last week's episode, Sean Penn's character is a really awful person, right? He's amoral. He's mean. He's shitty. He deserves all the bad things that happened to him, possibly. I think Sean Penn, like, I can't fault his acting here, right? Like, this character almost has kind of, like, a humor
acting.
And, like, the character is very believable. And the only points in the movie where, like, I enjoyed anything was when he was, not breaking the fourth wall, but when he was being, like, what the hell is going on in this town, right? Like, you could see a different, very, very different version of this movie that was outright comedic if it just dialed back the horror by 95%.
Let's talk about Billy Bob Thornton as the crazy mechanic Daryl, who is holding his car hostage.
He's funny, because Billy Bob Thornton's always funny.
Yeah, I actually think Billy Bob Thornton is the best actor in this film. He does a very good job of being a super creepy mechanic.
And the good thing, so there's multiple scenes, and they're kind of like, they're almost like a stage play, right? Like, John Penn keeps going back to Billy Bob Thornton's, like, horrible junkyard to, like, find out what, and something new has always happened wrong to his car, so it's kind of funny that way. But also, in those scenes, nothing awful happens, right? Like, Billy Bob Thornton is a terrible, mean, dumb hillbilly, and Sean Penn is a desperate lowlife on the edge, and he's screaming at Billy Bob, and Billy Bob is kind of enjoying it. Those scenes are, like, they're the only good part of the movie, because, yeah, nothing brutal is happening. These two people are just awful people melting down and screaming at
each other. Yeah, nobody is getting raped or murdered, so let's count that as a win.
Yeah, I would watch a 15-minute movie that was just those scenes.
Okay, let's talk about Claire Danes and Joaquin Phoenix, because they play a kind of teenage couple, and I have some thoughts on Claire Danes in this.
Joaquin Phoenix has got to be like mid-20s to 30 in this, and she's probably like 17 or 18 years old,
yeah.
So that's weird.
Yeah, super weird.
Yeah, so he kind of, he's, Joaquin Phoenix is believable as this like hyper-masculine, short-fused, you know, bumpkin asshole.
Whose name is TNT.
His name is TNT. And Claire Danes is his like hyper-sexualized teeny bopper girlfriend. She's just so like great son. Like nobody acts like that. She's just immediately coming on to this old, dirty, bleeding man in a diner for no reason.
Well, it's the same, like, it's the sexualization of Claire Danes where they dress her as much younger than she actually is.
Yeah, she's dressed like a 12-year-old.
Like, she's dressed like a 12-year-old. Her mannerisms and her maturity are that of a young girl, but her sexuality is that of, like, a grown woman. So that juxtaposition is disgusting, and you're a creepy old man if you find that cute. And
yeah, she's, like, flirting in this, like, very, like, sort of like you said last week with Geely, how Jennifer Lopez was portrayed. She's flirting with him, but not in a way a girl of her age would do, but in a way, like, an old guy would want to be flirted with in a dream.
Exactly. Like, it says a lot more about somebody who would find that attractive and who would actually portray that to, I mean, if there's more depth to it that I'm missing, please at me yell at me. I don't think there is. Yeah, it's just all of it is disgusting and it's gross and I'm pissed I have to watch it.
We come now to the heart of the podcast episode, which is the work of Jennifer Lopez as Grace McKenna. How did you feel about Ms. Lopez's work here? You're still upset with her about Geely, I can tell.
I am going to stick with my hypothesis from last week, which is that Jennifer Lopez has made some really poor decisions about her film career.
We have talked, we talked last week about the fact that throughout this podcast season, we are increasingly realizing that, like, we haven't really enjoyed many of these movies, but she's actually pretty good in all of them. But not Geely or U-Turn. I think she's bad in both of them.
I agree with you. I think that in U-Turn, she's terrible. I don't know if those are all directing choices. Like, they made her be that way. But so a little bit more background on the character, right? Like, Jennifer Lopez is supposed to be a survivor of sexual assault, but to the point where, like, she's been raped by her father since she was a little kid, apparently. Like, it's horrifying.
Yeah, even you saying it makes my skin crawl.
It's just, like, it's horrifying, right?
And he's not her biological father, but he's her stepfather since she was very young.
No, he is her biological father.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's a whole argument at the end where that whole scene where they're shooting the straight trooper, he's like, he was actually your real father. And then she, like, admits
Christ,
it. Like,
it's
just...
And she was sleeping with the state... He's thinking he's a sheriff, but she was sleeping with him too?
Yeah, and the whole thing is just like... It doesn't even matter if he was her stepfather. Like, it's still super gross.
No, yeah, I wasn't.
Right, exactly. No, I know. I know. You weren't excusing it. I just mean that, like, the film thought that there should be some delineation between maybe it's okay because it's not really her dad and it's her stepfather, but that's not.
But then they yanked that away.
That's not.
And so you could see, again, this movie's irredeemable, but, like, you could see, all right, someone who has actually been a victim of all this terrible trauma might conceivably take psychic refuge in, you know, her sexuality, right? In an attempt to regain control, right? Like, sleep with the sheriff and the drifter and all this stuff. But I don't think they're even trying to say that about her. She's just like a crazy, slutty, crazy person.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like, every male, like, perspective in this film is about how Jennifer Lopez might just actually be a slut, right? I was just saying it is crazy. But, like, one, I think she's just bad in this movie because they don't give her anything to work with except for her sexuality, right? Except for her, like, to be the sexy person. I was going to say that it would have worked for me if at the very end she actually survived and she was able to just kill all these horrible men in her life and then just walk away with the money.
No, she gets strangled.
And then she gets strangled. So she really is just like a victim like 12 times over.
And the movie doesn't even have that much. It doesn't have any, this character has no integrity, right? When we first meet her, the way she's acting is not informed at all by what this character's gone through. She's just like, she's kind of confident and sexy, and she's like, hey, stranger, why don't you carry my drapes home?
The only way she knows how to relate through men is through sex, is what the film is saying, and I don't think that's a very smart thing to say.
So it's hard to think how she could have done a good job in this movie, like with what the character and all of the horror around it. The only way she could have done a good job in this movie is to have chosen not to be in it.
I agree. There's nothing redeemable about it. There's nothing redeemable about her performance. I can see why she signed on to this film. I can see why everybody signed on to it. They thought it was going to be some cool, edgy shit.
You know, I enjoyed the podcast more when one of us has liked the movie and one of us has disliked it. And now we've watched such terrible movies back to back that no one could have liked them.
I don't think there should be a movie MVP here, but is there a movie MVP?
Yeah, I think just in the interest of our own ethical standards, we have to say that because this movie is of zero value, no one can be the most valuable player in it.
Well, I think I might have to push back on that.
You like Billy Bob?
No.
Oh.
I like the lady who shot the two gangsters with a shotgun. The Abuelita who...
Yeah, there's a Latina grandma who... There's two gangsters birthed into... Oh, this is like a four-building town. Why were there gangsters coming into the one convenience store to rob it?
And how did she not know who they were, really, right?
I knew who one of them was. He was the orderly from ER. Remember him, Jerry?
Kubiak. It's also Kubiak from...
I don't know what that means.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
I don't know what that means either.
The very old among you listening to this podcast will get that illusion.
The other guy was Kubiak from Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
No.
Jerry from ER. I don't know any of those.
Jerry from ER is Kubiak.
You know, I don't remember Parker Lewis Can't Lose, but I appreciate that you're not talking about Sons of Anarchy for once on the podcast. So I'll let that reference go.
Let me tell you that I would give anything for this podcast to be a Sons of Anarchy podcast.
So you like the work of the elderly Latina woman who shot them with a shotgun.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think Billy Bob Thornton's acting is probably the best in this movie, but no one should get any credit whatsoever for doing this. It's not even to me about the acting and the performances in this film. It's just that this subject matter is dealt with so poorly and used as kind of tourism and spectacle that there's a reason no one talks about it, because it's awful.
Yeah, no, even if you, I can't imagine liking this movie, but even if you did, you wouldn't go back and watch it. You'd be like, oh man, I love all the scenes where people get brutally murdered.
No, but I do want to take this minute to talk about why Sari thought we should watch this movie.
Oh, well, that's because she's bad. She doesn't like us.
I think it's because she hates us.
Is there another possible interpretation of
the other possible interpretation is that if you watch this movie at a certain point in your life, I think you do make the mistake of thinking that this is edgy and avant-garde and it deals with like taboo things that nobody else talks about.
It's transgressive.
Right. Transgressive. That's the word. When in reality, it is not transgressive. It's just gross.
Yeah. I think what you're saying earlier is exactly right. Like there's no, don't show us all of this. The worst parts of the human condition just to show them to us, like
right.
with no meaning or story behind them at all.
No, I agree. Is there anything else we need to talk about in here?
Well, I'm drained. I'm emotionally drained. My nerve endings are raw. Just talking about the movie made it even more terrible to me.
I don't think anybody should watch U-Turn. And frankly, I'm a little worried about the next four films that we're going to watch.
Yeah, should we just stop the podcast? Has Jennifer Lopez done anything we can watch in this
point? I don't know what to say, except I thought Jennifer Lopez... I'm having a real existential crisis here. I thought Jennifer Lopez would be a great person for this because... on the strength of Made in Manhattan and some of those rom-coms, but I don't know. Should we do more rom-coms?
It's a harsh slog.
Should we do more rom-coms?
Well, what's next on our list?
So next week, we are going to go back to some lighter fare, and we're going to watch Shall We Dance?
What appears to be, have you seen the film?
I have not.
Well, it appears to be a some sort of tap dancing romance. It's got Richard Gere. It's got Susan Sarandon. They're ballerinas, maybe.
Very low instances of rape and or murder.
Yes, yes. Based purely on the cover of the box, I feel like nobody will. I feel like we won't see a graphic murder or maiming or active rape or incest or someone getting their teeth knocked out or leg broken in this film. And at the moment, I feel like that's maybe just the bar we have to try and clear.
I am laughing because I'm so wildly upset at how bad U-Turn was, and I don't know how to handle it.
And also, I want Jennifer Lopez to redeem herself in our
eyes. Me too.
Yeah, and
I think
she can sing, she can dance. This feels like maybe this will be stronger.
Have we ever gotten this low on a podcast subject before?
No, she's, I don't think this is entirely her fault. You know, she didn't necessarily direct either of these films, but yeah, she's not doing herself any favors in our eyes, that's for sure.
All right, we got a steep hill to climb in the last four episodes of the 10 Movies podcast. If you guys have suggestions on what movies we should watch, please let us know.
Yeah,
at us.
Christ, if there's a good Jennifer Lopez movie, get at us so we can watch it.
Unless you're Sari. Sari will be taking no more
suggestions. I'm blocking Sari right now. I'm deleting her number. I'm blocking her on Twitter.
All right. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can find us on social media on Twitter at 10 Movies.
Rate and review us, please. And as Hamill always says, her classic catchphrase, it's podcasting time.